ask Ms. Gaither if she'll call the roll, please.
Commissioner Adams. Commissioner Adkins.
Here.
Commissioner Armstrong.
Here.
Commissioner Barlow.
Here.
Commissioner Copeland.
Here.
Commissioner Dunavant.
Here.
Commissioner Fee.
Here.
Commissioner Kelly.
Here.
Commissioner Mason.
Here.
Commissioner Murphy.
Here.
Commissioner Nafee.
Here.
Commissioner Schoeffer.
Here.
Commissioner Smith.
Here.
Commissioner Sneed.
Here.
Commissioner Turner.
Here.
Commissioner Twisdale.
Here.
Here.
Here. Here.
Commissioner Wilson.
Here.
And Commissioner Wooten.
Here.
Is Commissioner Adams present? Okay, Mr. Chairman, we have 17 present.
We have 17 present. Declare that to be a quorum.
We got feedback in here.
Go ahead. You guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I think we got it. The item number four on the agenda, commissioners, any additions to the agenda? Does anyone have any additions? If not, item number five are the minutes of the previous month's meeting. When you make a motion, if you just holler who you are so we can make it clear so I can kind of keep up with you, if you don't mind. Item number five, minutes of the previous month's meeting. Do we have a motion?
I make a motion to approve as mailed out, Mason.
All right. Motion has been made by Commissioner Mason, seconded by Commissioner Wilson, that the minutes be approved as mailed out. Is there any discussion, any questions on the minutes? Any questions? Any objection to approving the minutes as mailed out? If not, declare the minutes to be adopted without objection. Item number six is the election of notaries.
Okay, I see we have Commissioner Adams on board here, so I've got you marked down as present.
Yes, I lost connection. I'm sorry.
That's okay. All right. Celia Jones Chastain, Amanda Colburn, Colette Fields, Glenda C. Haney, J. Keith Haney, April Lovett, Kathy M. McMahon, Victor Newman, Letitia A. Rhodes, Kyle Justice Simpson, and Tanya Waddell.
All right, would anyone like to add a name to that list? If not, do we have a motion that those individuals be elected as notaries in Tipton County?
So I'll make that motion, Adkins.
There a second?
Armstrong. Copeland.
All right, motion has been made by Commissioner Atkins, seconded by Commissioner Copeland. We're on the motion to elect those individuals as notaries in Tipton County. Is there any discussion or any questions? Any questions? Any objection to approving that list of individuals to be elected as notaries in Tipton County? Without objection, then the motion carries and those individuals are duly elected. Item number 7 on the agenda, commissioners, is a consideration of appointments to the Tipton County Planning Commission. The chair recommends Mr. Mike Brewer and Mr. Carl Lewis, both who are currently serving on there. They've been dedicated members of the Tipton County Planning Commission. They provide a lot of input, good attendance, and I would recommend that they be reappointed for another 4-year term. Do we have a motion?
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chairman Copeland, that they be appointed to the Tipton County Planning Commission.
Second.
Is there a second?
Turner.
All right, the motion has been made by Commissioner Copeland, seconded by Commissioner Turner, that Mr. Mike Brewer and Mr. Carl Lewis be reappointed to the Tipton County Planning Commission, their term to expire in January of 2025. Is there any further discussion or any questions on the motion? Is there any objection to approving the motion? Without objection, then the motion carries and Mr. Brewer and Mr. Lewis are duly reappointed to the Tipton County Planning Commission. Item number 8, commissioners, is a school report from the director of schools, Dr. John Combs, fresh off of the Tennessee General Assembly's special education session. So maybe he can enlighten us on exactly how that impacts Tipton County and provide us with some information regarding the school system and how it's operating now under these COVID conditions. Dr. Combs, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here. It's good to see everybody.
Right.
Yes, sir. I'm gonna do the legislation there at the end because it's the most confusing. But I did want to say thank you for letting me be a part and share some stuff with y'all. I know it's been a chaotic time across the country for a lot of reasons, so I appreciate y'all giving me a little bit of your time tonight for a brief update. And I will try to keep it brief, but you know, feel free to ask me any questions as I go. I'm more than happy to attempt any answers possible. So I want to say that we're proud to be one of the few systems in the state where teachers are reporting to work every day, and students are, for the most part, meeting in face-to-face classrooms. And when I say that, there are very few school systems across the state that are doing what we're doing. Most of them are alternating days. Haywood, Lauderdale, Millington, those around us have been alternating and going every other day. They have different schedules for elementary and high schools, or they're just, as you know, Shelby County, their students haven't set foot in the building since last March. So we're happy to have your support to be able to continue to do that. All of our students distance learn on Fridays and will probably continue to do that for the rest of the school year, even though I just call that about a month at a time, just because I'm not really good at predicting the future, but we're just doing it about 30 days out at a time. That seems to be working well. The teachers appreciate that, I believe, and it gives them more time to be able to reach out to those distance learners that are fully distance learning. So with that said, approximately 16% of our students chose to distance learn all year. So that means 84% of our students are face-to-face in classrooms and have been since August. Although we're proud that this number is low, the task is difficult because, as you know, there is limited availability for high-speed internet throughout the county. And let me throw the word reliable in front of that. A number of people think that they have good internet until we start streaming information to them. And then they realize that their internet is not as reliable as they thought it was. So, you know, that's gonna be a big piece for us to be able to do more distance learning anyway. I know that Aeneas is pushing this way from the south end of the county, but it doesn't help those on this end who are gonna be waiting for quite a while longer. So, thus far, we have also received only 2,102 of the 11,001 Chromebooks that we ordered during the summer. So as y'all remember, back in July, we talked about the Chromebooks that we were gonna be ordering, a total of about 11,000 of those. Thus far, and this was just a couple of weeks ago, we received 2,100 of those, and those have been distributed. Dr. Fee, correct me if I'm wrong, those have been distributed to the high schools, I believe. Each one of the high schools for 11th and 12th grade ELA classes, they chose to get devices instead of additional textbooks this year. And so they were going to be the first ones we got those out to. So they have them now. And then we're going to start the distribution process for some of our distance learners. And then when the remainder of those come in, we'll start divvying them out to all the rest of the schools. We have decided that if those things don't come in by spring break, then we're going to hold on to them and we will not distribute those until next school year. There's no reason to put them out and take them right back up because each of the schools have to inventory those and all kinds of stuff. Now, I have left it up to the principals when we do get those, if they have some special circumstances there in the building and they feel like they need to get some of those out, they're welcome to do that. But then, you know, those all come back in so that they're stored in the buildings over the summer. We're currently drafting a proposal to receive about $8 million of ESSER 2.0 funds. ESSER, of course, stands for the Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief Fund. Remember, we had ESSER 1.0, which is what we met about long ago. You know, the CARES Act funding, all that kind of stuff was kind of wrapped up in that ESSER 1.0. And we got about four times that amount in 2.0. Now, that money comes from the federal government, but it flows through the state. And in true state fashion, we have to write a proposal that they like and approve before they will give us the money that's allotted to us for that amount of money. And the money that we have allotted is $8 million. For that. And they added some additional buckets that we can use that money for. And I'll go over those in just a minute. The deadline for our proposal and the state's answer to that proposal is March the 1st. So we have to have that information in and hopefully approved by March the 1st. And then of course, there are specific guidelines for spending those dollars. So the five main components that we're gonna spend that money on, number one, additional technology, not laptops. We're done with laptops. Hopefully when those come in, we'll be set for about 3 years for sure. But additional technology like additional cameras in the classroom, distance learning boards, et cetera. And then capital improvements, ESSER 1.0, we were not able to use that money for capital improvement. However, ESSER 2.0, we can, as long as we relate it to school or student health. So, I've earmarked about $4 million of that $8 million to replace roofs because, you know, if we can't relate that to student health, then somebody's not paying attention. So I went ahead and got that approved through the federal government. And so we should be good to be able to spend that money on roof. And I'm not talking about repair. I'm talking about replacements. And we have a list of them, you know, Munford High, Munford Elementary, Brighton High, there are a number of them that need roof replacement. And so as soon as we get that funding in, I'll be able to share with y'all the exact schools that will have roofs replaced so that we can take care of that on the front end. And then of course, instructional materials, textbook money, instructional platforms that we currently use, and STEM labs in kindergarten through eighth grade. You know, STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. And those labs, we've been wanting to get some of those labs in the elementary and middle school for a while now. And this is a good opportunity to do that. I know I've spoken with Mr. Sneed about that, I know, because that's big time. Those STEM labs are big time for future FedEx employees, et cetera. So we're looking forward to that. And then also personnel, specifically, some more social workers and some more distance learning assistants to help with those things. So those are just all things that we kind of have in our draft proposal that we're going to be sending into the state for them to look over. Hopefully they'll approve all that and we'll get that information back. Once they approve that, we have 27 months to spend that money. So at first it was only 18 months. And just recently within the last couple of weeks, they actually extended that to 27 months. So, you know, we're going to be going fast and furious to get these roofs and all that other stuff done. Y'all know how hard it is. I mean, it's crazy, but it's hard to spend money. And I know I'm talking to the group that knows that. You make a plan, you're trying to spend that money, And, you know, you have to roll with it because things don't always work out like you want it to. People don't work fast enough to spend the money, which is crazy. Then the bonuses that y'all and the board approved in December are going to hit bank accounts on February 12th. So this Friday, those bonuses will hit bank accounts. Remember, that's $1,000 for every certified full-time employee and $750 for every classified full-time employee. Those will hit on the 12th, this coming Friday. Last week, we had 14 students test positive and 67 students quarantined. Seems like a lot, but actually that's not terrible compared to what we went through the first semester. It's actually a little bit better. Also, last week we had 3 staff members test positive and 7 staff members quarantined. Again, not bad numbers at all. But, you know, as anyone that works in the school system or any of you that are parents or grandparents will know, the hardest part is not the testing positive, it's the quarantine. Those are the hard, because we're basically sending healthy kids home. So that's the hard part. So we're glad that number seems to be going down. Thus far, I was on the call a little bit there toward the end of y'all's last meeting. So I heard Commissioner Dunnevant talking about the vaccinations, which he's done a masterful job working with the health department and getting that thing streamlined. Because my goodness, efficiency from the first shot I got till the second shot I got was just 100% different. So thank you, Director. That was, you've done a great job working with them. But so far, we estimate between 250 and 300 staff members have been vaccinated. We don't know for sure because we're still awaiting that requested information from the health department. We asked them for that information and we don't have it yet. So, you know, there are some that went out and were vaccinated and we're not in the loop on that. So hopefully we'll hear that soon. And then, of course, we certainly still have those who are awaiting that opportunity. As I believe Director Dunnevant mentioned earlier, we met last Friday, I believe. It was one Friday, Mr. Dunnevant. I don't remember if it was last Friday or the Friday before. But we had a plan, going to roll our educators through the gym at Brighton High School. And we had a plan to get all that done. It was going to be really efficient. We're going to use our own nurses. We have, you know, our nurses, we contract with Le Bonheur. So, I mean, they're ready to go. Fridays when the students aren't there and it's just educators, I mean, the whole thing was going to work out great. But then, you know, like you said, we got the call that said they weren't going to give us the vaccine. So anyway, hopefully that can change at some point. And when it does, we stand ready to be able to, you know, help with that process. And then lastly, before y'all ask me any questions, if you have any, as I'm sure you're aware, a few weeks ago, the General Assembly passed 4 pieces of legislation in a whirlwind session. I mean, it was fast. It was basically 2 days. And it was followed last week by Governor Lee signing those into law. Frankly, we still have, when I say we, I mean superintendents, all 147 of us across the state, still have questions about much of the content because the public education community as a whole was not included in the development of this legislation. I'm gonna say that again. They did not ask our opinion when they flushed that stuff through the legislation or through the legislative session. So afterwards, they've developed some groups or something that they've started calling us now after everything's become law, and they want our opinion on some things now after they've already passed it. But they did not include any educators in this process. You know, part of that is because I know that Governor Lee is just a tad aggravated at Shelby County school system and Metro Nashville and some of those that, again, haven't had any students in their building. They're wanting people to return to face-to-face instruction, and there are very few systems who have done that. And I know some of this legislation was aimed at ramping that up. But, you know, those of us who are already doing it are kind of caught in the middle of it as well. So these 4 new laws deal with 4 things, obviously. The first one is accountability. And the second one is learning loss. The third one is literacy. And the fourth one is teacher pay. So just really quickly, because I could definitely get into the weeds on these things, but I don't want to take all your meeting. The accountability piece basically says that there will be no negative accountability consequences. I'm reading straight from the law here, so I don't mess it up. No negative accountability consequences for teachers, students, or schools from the 2021 TCAP testing results. So we will be testing. The students will take tests as they usually do, but there will be no consequences from the scores of those tests to students, to teachers, to schools, or to districts. They will still use that information. It can be calculated in there at the school for them to use to see where they are. You know, they're throwing this term learning loss around a whole lot. I still don't know if anybody knows what that means, but they're throwing it around a whole lot. And then student performance and growth data that's generated by the testing that's going to happen this spring will not be used to assign a letter grade to schools. Remember, that came up in the legislation. It has for the last 2 or 3 years that they were going to start assigning letter grades to schools. So each school in our system would be an A, B, C, D, or F school. You know, of course, we don't like that. The education commissioner, Penny Schwinn, was in the Senate hearing, and they asked her that question, and she said she's absolutely for giving schools letter grades. But keep in mind, you know, a lot of things calculate into that. Truancy, testing results, there's a ton of things calculate into that. That's why generally it's not really one of those things that educators like, but they said it's coming. You can't be identified as a priority school. All those things can happen this year because of this accountability law that was passed. I will say, in order to be waived, in order for these accountability things to be accurate, 80% of our students have to take the test. That's the catch-all. 80% have to take the test, or the accountability law does not apply to us. So Tipton County is not going to have a problem with that. Like I said, you know, the majority of our students have been coming to school anyway. And remember, this is a year when we're paper pencil testing. We're not testing online. We're not computer testing. So we're really not concerned that we're going to generate those numbers. I feel pretty confident we will. But there are some that are going to absolutely have a problem with that. Some of those that I already mentioned. So how the state deals with those is up to them. But Tipton County, we should be good as far as our testing numbers. So we hope to hit that 80% and then be okay. The second one is learning loss. And this one is basically, it says all school districts in Tennessee will offer in-person learning loss remediation and student acceleration programs. Basically, this is summer school. That's what they're talking about. They want to address learning loss by implementing some summer school programs that they are going to pay for, or they're going to help fund anyway. So those three things, number one, summer learning camps, those will be for students entering grades 1 through 5, and that'll be a 6-week summer school. They call them learning camps, but you know, for us in this meeting, they're summer school. Okay, so they're learning camps. We will be allotted $690,284.85 to run those summer learning camps. The stipulation is that we have at least 30% economically disadvantaged students participate in that program. So that's what we're, you know, going to be working on to see if we get those numbers. That includes the amount of money to pay teachers to go through and do those camps, etc. A number of school systems are worried that they won't have enough teachers sign up to do it because our teachers have been there every day. But, you know, I think we'll probably have enough. You know, money is a motivator, and the minimum we can give them is $1,000 a week, according to this legislation. So I think we'll be okay. The second one is learning loss bridge camps. And again, it's summer school, but it's called a bridge camp. And that's for students who are grades 6 through 8, and it's only 4 weeks. And again, it's basically summer school for middle school. Now, none of this legislation deals with the high school. This is only 1 through 8 this legislation deals with. High schools can continue to do their credit recovery process and however they're gonna handle that in their buildings, but they are not sending us any funding for that. And then the last one is after school summer learning mini camps. Again, that's students entering grades 1 through 5. So it's elementary students, and it's 4 days per week for 6 weeks. and it's basically going to focus on STREAM, which is just the same as it's science, technology, reading, engineering, arts, and math. So they're basically, again, mini camps. And I'm sorry, I didn't tell you the amount on that last one. So for summer learning camps, they're supposed to be giving us $690,284.85. Learning loss bridge camps, that's the middle school summer school, they should be sending us $303,726.86. I'm just giving you the full amount because I want you to know how specific they were with the amount of money they're sending us. And then the after school learning mini camps, $197,224.24. So we should be getting all that money. Again, the stipulation is that we serve at least 30% economically disadvantaged students in our schools. So we're working on that process right now too. We do not yet have that money, but we have to work on a program to make that work. The third one is literacy. And that one is requires school districts to develop a foundational literacy skills plan to do locally driven solutions and improve literacy outcomes. Quite frankly, we're already doing that. We have been doing that already, but it just gives, you know, adds letter to the law and gives us more backing to be able to push literacy because, as you know, literacy is a huge issue across the whole state and across the whole country. So we've been stepping it up the last 2 years anyway, but again, this was that information that was passed. And then the last one, I know I'm flying through this, I'm sorry, but if you have questions afterwards, please jump on them. Teacher pay is the last one. And it says the General Assembly appropriated funding intended to go toward teacher bonuses or raises for this school year. It'll be up to each school district to decide how this increased funding is dispersed for district instructional staff. You know, we've always been a little pushed out of shape when the governor, whoever it was, would say things like, we're going to give a 4% teacher raise in Tennessee. Well, that's not necessarily the truth. Y'all know that. We have positions above the BEP that will not be funded, and all the districts do. We're not the only one in that situation. So they are giving us, they're sending us, the way they worded it, they're going to add a 2% non-recurring increase to the instructional component of the BEP that is retroactive January 1 through June. 2%. So basically that's 1%, right? Because it's a half a year, number one, it's not a full year. So it's retroactive from January, but they're gonna give us a 2% increase from January 2021 through June. That amount for Tipton County is $414,000. That's the exact amount, $414,000. For us to be able to give a non-recurring, when they say non-recurring salary increase, y'all know what that is. That's a bonus. If it's non-recurring, it's not a salary increase because it's not going to continue to be funded. So we're going to be able to give another bonus that will probably be at the end of March or the beginning of April using that $414,000 that they gave us. We are going to add about $200,000 to that from within our own from our own budget. From money, honestly, that we're going to save from this ESSER money I told you earlier that we're going to be spending, we can add $200,000 to that, and we'll be able to give everybody about a 2% bonus at that time. Now, keep in mind, 2% is for the second WT. You may have to help me explain that. 2% is just it's half a year. Remember, so really, it's 1% of their annual salary because it's only 2%. Did I say that right, WT? Okay, I see you nodding your head.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Dr. Connors, you did. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, and that's what's so hard is, again, when teachers and educators hear that 2% information sent from legislators, they think they grab their calculator and they start calculating what's 2% of my annual, and it's, you know, it's not that easy. The other piece is that he is supposed to introduce, he meaning Governor Lee, is supposed to introduce legislation. Well, he said there's going to introduce it in February, so we'll see what happens to add a recurring amount into the BEP starting next year for a 4% salary increase that is recurring. But again, that hasn't they haven't introduced that bill yet. That has not passed. We don't know what that looks like yet or if it is going to happen. All we know is we were going to get the $414,000. So again, you know, that's a real down and dirty version of what those are. And I'll tell you, the jury's still out on a lot of this minutia in these laws now, because again, we weren't included in it. So we're still learning as we go through this information. I know I just gave you a lot of stuff, but y'all were very patient. Nobody frowned or made any mean faces at me. So are there any questions that I can try to help with?
Hey, Dr. Combs, I've got one, and this is around when you mentioned going back earlier about the internet and the Wi-Fi. How is the school buses situation? What's our feedback that we've gotten on being able to is it Brighton and Drummond's and all the places that y'all put the stationary school buses? Have we gotten positive feedback around that?
We have, actually. There are six of those buses out there, and we have gotten positive feedback. I mean, as you know, it's not the ideal situation. You know, you don't want to have to get out in the cold and park in a parking lot and get around a bus. You know, that part's been a little tough. But most of the calls that we've gotten and the feedback we've gotten are from people who are grateful that, you know, that is an option for them to be able to, to hit those hot spots. I will tell you this. We actually have a call this week with T-Mobile. The state, T-Mobile is offering some grants that will purchase some free Wi-Fi hotspots through T-Mobile for us. So we're working with them right now to find out exactly, you know, if we qualify, how many of those we can get, and then we can also help by distributing those, you know, as need dictates, that will also help with those bus Wi-Fi spots. So we hope to have that fairly soon as well.
Very good. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Anybody else?
Hey, Dr. Combs.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Commissioner Sneed. I was wanting to know, in terms of your summer school program, will the buses be running? How will that work in terms of you identifying that 30% and, you know, and running the buses to get the kids there?
Yes, sir. Great question. Yes, to answer your first question, the buses will run. Yes, sir. There's no way we get, you know, half those kids to show up if we can't go get them. You know that. I know why you asked that question. That's a good question. But in that funding that they send down, transportation is not addressed at all in the funding they send. Again, you know, another aggravating part about them not including, you know, any educators, superintendents, anybody in that legislation, because transportation is not addressed in there. So, but yes, we are going to help provide transportation for those kids, and we're going to have to work with each school on an individual basis to figure out who those children are and how we're going to get them there. But yes, sir. Anybody else?
Are there any other questions? All right. Thank you, Dr. Combs.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
We appreciate it. Do we have a motion that we adopt the school report?
So move, Commissioner Sneed.
I'll second it, Commissioner Adams.
Motion is made by Commissioner Sneed, seconded by Commissioner Adams, that the school report given by Director Combs be adopted. Any discussion or questions on the motion? Any questions? Any objection to adopting the report? Without objection, then the motion carries and the report is adopted. Thank you again, Dr. Combs. All right, the next item on the agenda, commissioners, is a resolution regarding the right-of-ways and limiting local control of right-of-way dedications. I think, did you all get a copy of that? Nancy, send you guys a copy out. You got that, or she scanned and send it to you. I think the Public Works Department has already considered this, and I believe in their minutes they're going to recommend adoption of the resolution, but I can read it if you have not seen it. All right. Are there any questions on the resolution?
Mr. Chairman, the that bill is now also on the radar of the Tennessee County Commissioners Association. And when they sent me the information last week, I don't believe there was a House bill. And I don't think it had a companion bill in the Senate at that time, but it may have by now.
Okay. Any questions? Do we have a motion to adopt the resolution?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Is there a second to Commissioner Wilson's motion to adopt the resolution?
I second, Mr. Chairman.
All right. It's been seconded by Commissioner Twisdale. Motions by Commissioner Wilson, seconded by Commissioner Twisdale, that the resolution be adopted, urging the General Assembly to oppose House Bill 366. All right, any questions? Any discussion? Any objection to adopting the resolution as presented? Without objection, then the motion carries and the resolution is duly adopted. All right, item number 10 is consideration of the Tipton County road list. I believe that was sent out as well in the statute. Each county is required at the beginning of the new year to adopt an official road list. It would go on the minutes of the county commission meeting. The official road list of Tipton County. Do we have a motion that the road list as submitted be adopted?
So move, Commissioner Armstrong.
All right, we've got a motion by Commissioner Armstrong. Is there a second?
Second, Commissioner Murphy.
Seconded by Commissioner Murphy that the 2021 road list, official road list, be adopted. Any discussion or any questions on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Without objection, then the motion carries and the 2021 road list is officially adopted as presented. Do we have a report from the Finance Committee?
We do, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, Commissioners. The Finance Administration Committee met last at 4 p.m. on February 1st, 2021 at the Tipton County Administration Building. Members present were Commissioners Adams, Barlow, Copeland, Fee, Mason, Smith, Snead, and Turner. Also present were Chiefs Billy Daugherty and Shannon Beasley, Lieutenant John Weatherly, Finance Director W.T. Bailey, and County Executive Jeff Huffman. Chairwoman Fee called the meeting to order and asked Commissioner Copeland to open the meeting with prayer. Following the prayer, we had Ms. Peggy Murdoch. She was there up first with the Board of Education. They had some requested budget amendments to come before the committee. It was all interfund transfers in the Adult Education Fund, and I believe they also had an additional small grant, an $8,000 grant that they received. And so we were adding those dollars to that adult ed budget. And so a motion was made by Commissioner Barlow and seconded by Commissioner Mason that the committee recommend to the full legislative body to approve the Board of Education's budget amendments as presented for the month of February. The motion carried with none opposing. Next, we had the Sheriff's Department. They were there. They received some funding. They sold some confiscated property, and they also sold some old equipment that they're no longer using from within the department. They asked that those dollars be added into the Sheriff's Department budget, and they also had some requests for interfund transfers within the Sheriff's Department and the jail's budget. Nothing really significant or material there. A motion was made by Commissioner Adams and seconded by Commissioner Snead that the Finance and Administration Committee recommend to the full legislative body to approve the Sheriff's Office and jail's budget amendments as presented for accounts 54110 and 54210. The motion carried with none opposing. Next, Commissioners, I presented some mid-year kind of housekeeping budget amendments for the general fund. most of which were interfund transfers. The biggest item on the list of things that I presented was we requested a vehicle for our IT director, Mr. Boyd Hendricks. And so we requested some dollars in there for that. That was the main item on the agenda for the general funds amendments. Everything else was pretty much interfund transfers. A motion was made by Commissioner Mason and seconded by Commissioner Smith that the committee recommend to the full legislative body to approve the general fund budget amendments as presented for the month of February. That motion carried with none opposing. Next, commissioners, I gave a brief mid-year report to the finance committee for fiscal year 2021 for the budget. Just gave them an update on where we were with revenues, where we were with expenditures for funds 101, 122, 151, and 171. And also County Executive Huffman, he also gave the committee a couple of updates regarding COVID and vaccinations, and he also briefed the committee on a legislative update as well, I believe, surrounding kind of piggybacking off of what Dr. Combs talked about earlier, just school legislation and impacts of COVID funding and things of that nature. So the reports that I gave and that County Executive Huffman gave were strictly informative, and no action was taken on those reports. With no other business to come before the committee that night, a motion was made by Commissioner Mason and seconded by Commissioner Sneed to adjourn at 5 p.m. Motion carried with none opposing. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my report.
I'll make the motion that the minutes of the Finance and Administration Committee be approved.
All right, is there a second?
Second. Copeland.
All right, we've got a motion by Commissioner Fee, seconded by Commissioner Copeland to adopt the Finance Committee report. Is there any discussion on the report or any questions? Any objection to adopting the Finance Committee report? With that objection, then the motion carries and the Finance report is adopted. Do we have a report from the Tipton County Public Works Committee?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Twisdale, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're looking good.
Good evening to everyone. The Tipton County Public Works Committee met in regular session on Monday, February the 1st, 2021, through Zoom meeting. The meeting was called to order by Chairman Twisdale, Commissioners Wilson and Wooten and Schofer and Donovan. Atkins, Murphy, Kelly, Armstrong were present. Director Shannon Reed, employee Darlene Wheeler, Gary Jackson, and Brandon Clark was also present. The meeting was opened with prayer by Commissioner Murphy. A motion was made by Commissioner Armstrong and seconded by Commissioner Murphy to approve the minutes for the month of January. Motion passed by roll call, none opposed. A motion was made by Commissioner Wilson, seconded by Commissioner Schofer, to approve the bills as reviewed for the month of January. Motion passed by roll call, none opposed. A motion was made by Commissioner Donovan, seconded by Commissioner Wilson, to approve the 2021 Tipton County road list. Motion passed by roll call, none opposed. A motion was made by Commissioner Atkins and seconded by Commissioner Kelly to set the speed limit on Milton Road at 35 miles per hour and on Barbara Lane and Patricia Lane at 25 miles per hour. Motion passed by roll call, none opposed. A motion was made by Commissioner Kelly and seconded by Commissioner Atkins to approve the resolution to urge General Assembly to oppose House Bill 366. Motion passed through roll call, none opposed. A motion was made by Commissioner Wilson, seconded by Commissioner Armstrong to adjourn. Motion passed through roll call, none opposed. The meeting adjourned at 6:45. Mr. Chairman, I move that the public works report be adopted.
All right, is there a second to the motion to adopt the report?
Second, Atkins.
All right, a motion has been made by Commissioner Twizzle, seconded by Commissioner Atkins to adopt the Public Works Committee report. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Turn these in, folks.
Any questions? Is there any objection to adopting the Public Works Committee report? If not, I declare the motion to pass and that the report is duly adopted. Next item on our agenda, commissioners, is a report from the General Welfare Committee. Mr. Wilk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. General Welfare Committee is in regular session tonight at 6:30 p.m. And this was a Zoom meeting with the commissioners on that Zoom meeting. All the General Welfare Committee members were present. Also present was County Executive Jeff Huffman, Finance Director W.T. Bailey, County IT Director Boyd Hendricks, some members of the Finance and Administration Committee, and I believe I saw Chief Piercy name also on there. Chairman Wilson called the meeting to order and established that a quorum was present. There was a public hearing held at 6 p.m. Prior to our meeting to receive input into a rezoning request on property located at 5686 Richardson Landing Road. This rezoning request comes with a positive recommendation from the Planning Commission. On a motion by Commissioner James Adkins, seconded by Commissioner Armstrong, the General Welfare Committee recommends to the full legislative body that the rezoning request at 5686 Richardson Landing Road be approved. This approval would change the zoning from C1 light commercial to R1 single family residential. That motion carried on a roll call vote with none opposed. You want to go ahead and take that separate from the report, Mr.
I do. outside the report, do we have a motion to adopt the resolution? And the resolution is to amend the zoning map of Tipton County, Tennessee by rezoning approximately 0.69 acres located on map number 93, parcel number 13.01, belonging to Charlotte L. Hubbard, Jimmy C. Milligan, and Tracy Milligan from C2 to R1 zoning district is what I've got. Do we have a motion to adopt the resolution?
I'll make the motion, Adkins.
I'll second.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion is made by Commissioner Adkins, seconded by Commissioner Smith to adopt the resolution. Are there any questions or any discussion on the motion to adopt the resolution? Any objection to adopting the resolution? Without objection, then the motion carries and the resolution is adopted. You recognize, Commissioner Wilson.
The committee reviewed the January 2021 ambulance report from Priority Ambulance Service, and we had a motion to spread the report on the minutes by Commissioner Twisdale and seconded by Commissioner Schofer. That motion carried on a roll call vote with none opposed, so it will appear in your minutes when you receive this. Commissioner Dunnevant, the EMA Director for Tipton County, gave the committee a report on the ongoing COVID-19 shots that are being given by the Tipton County Health Department. And 3,484 shots have been given, I believe, through today by the Tipton County Health Department. And that seems to be going very well. And we appreciate all the hard work that everyone is doing in that regard, because you've got a lot of people who are standing out in the cold and the rain to make sure that our citizens are getting these shots, and we owe them all a debt of gratitude. So thank you, Commissioner Dunnevant. If you'll pass that along to those workers, I would appreciate it. There was no further business to come before the General Welfare Committee tonight, Mr. Chairman. We had a motion by Commissioner Murphy and seconded by Commissioner Armstrong to adjourn. The meeting adjourned at 6:55 p.m. Without objection. And I'd move adoption of the report.
All right. Is there a second to the motion to adopt the General Welfare Committee report?
I second it, Mr. Chairman.
All right. The motion is by Commissioner Wilson, seconded by Commissioner Twisdale, that the General Welfare Committee report be adopted. Any discussion or questions on the motion? Any objection to adopting approval of the report? Without objection, then the motion carries and the General Welfare Committee report is adopted. The last item on the agenda is the sheriff's report, and the sheriff, they're not on here. He said he would get the report to you. I'm not sure if that's going to be by email or mail, but he'll get the report to you for your consideration here this week. Anything else to come before the commission from any of you guys? Before we leave, let me say, I want to tell you, Director Dunnevant is doing a good job. He's kind of, I don't know that we've gotten a yes answer from the State Department of Health on anything we've asked them. And that's, you know, that's just the way it is. But the local folks, I have been awfully proud of the work they've done. Director Dunnevant and Parker Harris at the hospital and the Sheriff's Department and the Fire Department and the folks that have been willing to help all across the board, whether it's the vaccination site or other areas. This issue consumes us pretty much every day in one way or another, and it's going to continue to be that way. But we are seeing a substantial betterment of the numbers. Our positive cases are down to 209. We got up to 700 at one time. Our positivity right now is outside the red zone, as defined by CDC. We're in the yellow zone now, at 6.5% positivity. We've been right at 20% positivity rate before. The disappointing number is the number of deaths. We've had 93 deaths in Tipton County now. It's been a little less than a year. I think pretty much all of us know someone who's been very, very sick with this virus or has passed away from this virus. So it continues to be a real threat to the health and welfare of citizens in Tipton County. But the numbers do show it getting better, not just here, but in other areas of the state and other areas of the country as well. So we've got to be, you know, diligent and, you know, take care of ourselves and stay safe. And hopefully, you know, with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine coming out and with the private sector, pharmacies in particular and doctor offices able in the not too distant future to administer the vaccine, hopefully we'll be able to get ahead of this thing finally. So my thanks to everyone who's worked hard, whether you're an educator or the EMA director or anyone else, emergency services, thanks for the work that you've done. And it just wears on you after a while. You know, it's one of these things, as I said before, it's not like a tornado or a straight line wind or an earthquake that comes through and kind of levels some things. And then you pick up the pieces and, you know, the next day or two, this thing is just kind of, it's just been with us for a while and everybody's tired of it. But I did want to say, I'm proud of the local effort here in Tipton County in addressing the virus. And I do want to make a comment about Kaupar Park. It's working very well there. I also want to say that, Director Dunnevant tried to get the State Health Department to move out there in August, and he got turned down. And so it finally came to their senses and agreed to move it there a few weeks ago, and it's worked out much better there, not only for the workers, but also for the folks that are, you know, lining up to get the vaccine. So we'll keep plugging away. Dr. Combs had some good news about some additional money there. Getting $8 million is a lot of money. So we're excited about that. I appreciate all of your support, particularly during these Zoom meetings, because sometimes the video doesn't work, sometimes the audio doesn't work, and sometimes neither one of them work, and sometimes I push the wrong button and I blame it on the IT guy. That's an easy thing for me to do. But it's a little bit disjointed sometimes starting out, so I apologize for that. But thank you all for continuing to kind of put up with us as we try to meet and get through this thing. All right, item number 15 is adjournment. Is there a motion that we stand adjourned?
So moved. Adams.
All right, we got a motion to adjourn. Commissioner Adams.
Second
by Commissioner Twisdall. Without objection, we stand adjourned. Thank you all.